Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Becoming Multidimensional. It is Eliza here with
Christine.
And we are bringing to you today an amazing topic, a big topic, dare I say a hot topic in the spiritual community, and that is the topic of the Akashic Records.
This is such a broad and big conversation, and we're both so excited. This is a field that both Eliza and I work in. Eliza has been working in this field since she was a young girl. So we're really lucky to have her insight and her process and how she accesses these records. So because she's been doing it from just like a natural ability she was essentially born with. And other people sort of stumble onto it later in life and find their way into this really miraculous field, the sea of consciousness that we're talking about. This is what we're talking about when we say Akashic or Akashic, it's eventually tomato, tomato. This is like the fabric of the universe. It's imbued and infused with intelligence, with wisdom, with history, with healing, with knowledge, expansion, all of these things. And we are going to talk to you today about our experience with it. We're going to talk a little bit about the history because it's always, I think, really important to bring some of the scientific pieces if you can, and conversations other people have had that we respect and admire. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll tell some stories like we typically do and really journey together today about where this is going to lead us. So before, I have some things written down. I took some notes on some of the scientific community's explanation and into sort of this field. Eliza, before I dive into that, is there anything that you want to add?
Well, I would just love to start with my fun little story about my own journey into the Akashic Records, or at least whereas I can remember. Well, actually, it's really a friend of mine remembers this. But as Christine said so beautifully, so sweet to hear you say all those lovely things about me. Okay. And also, Christine has an immense ability in this field as well. And I've been very lucky to work with her. And she's brought a lot of healing into my life. So I'm very grateful. The Akashic field and the Akashic records, my understanding just from my natural ability to tap into this, is that our cells and the energy that vibrates around us hold a lot of this information. And this information is really every life you've lived, every thought you've thought, every thought you will think, every life you may or may not live in the future. It's like all of the potential of the universe that is attached to your specific soul signature. And really your soul mosaic, because as I believe we've talked about in one of our other podcasts, we're kind of a mosaic of energy. So it's how your soul taps into a spark of a different soul and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So basically it's just a lot of information. And one of my favorite stories comes from when I was on the school bus with one of my dear friends. And I just started randomly telling her, you know, that she was going to go to this certain college and then she was going to study this, you know, degree, and then she was going to work for this specific company. And I just thought, oh my God, this is fun. We're just playing. And then she was like, oh my gosh, tell me more. And then suddenly it became a thing where everyone on the school bus was asking me, well, what do you see for me? And what am I going to do? And I don't remember it. I put it out of my mind. I, you know, continued on with my life. I went to college. I started my business. I blah, 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 blah. And then I came back home to Los Angeles and I met with this friend and she was saying, oh, you know, what are you doing now? And I was like, well, you know, I'm a channeler and I'm working with a lot of clients and it's amazing. And she goes, oh my God, well, you know, I'll never forget what you said to me. And it all came true. And it was just something that made me laugh because I wasn't even aware of my own doing until much after the fact. And I believe that many people will be able to connect with this because many people access the Akashic field without even realizing what they're doing, because it is an energy that vibrates all around us and that we tap into. And some people label it as, you know, your intuition or being super sensitive or super empathic and picking up little things. But actually, you may be tapping into the Akashic field and the Akashic records.
Okay, so your story about the stool bus makes me think of a story about back in the Balkans, like 1915, 20, like a long time ago. There was this woman and she became known as Baba Vaga. And she was like this very poor family, like was not well educated. And when she was a little girl, she was swept up in a tornado and they found her. She got swept up and away. When they found her, she was barely alive. And her eyes were shut with, she couldn't open her eyes. There was so much dust and sand. She had surgeries. They couldn't, she ended up becoming blind. Well, she learned Braille. So that was the only education. But there's not, I mean, back at that time, there's not that many that many books even to read. So her education was very limited. And she went on to give these incredible prophecies. They talk about her really tapping into the Akashic fields. I mean, she predicted like the day Stalin would die. And I think she was in prison shortly because it was like no one could believe it. So they were pretty accurate. And how she would describe her ability to see things is she said it was like she could see someone's life or see an event like a moving picture. And so that we're talking about past, present, future. So she had this ability to, she lost her vision, but then she gained this whole other world of vision and was able to see these incredible things and predict things without having a television or out. She just had this knowing within her because she was tapping into this field of information that was this collision of past, present, future.
What an incredible story. Just amazing.
Okay. So I'm going to actually read from my notes right now because this is the scientific piece. So I'm just going to read a little bit about some of the people from the past who were scientists who described this field a little bit. And then we'll move on once we kind of get back some of this brings it a little bit of like some of the nuts and bolts of what we're talking about. So a couple quotes here I'm going to start with. The first two are from Nikola Tesla. And he said, "The day science begins to study non-physical phenomena, it will make more progress in one decade than in all the previous centuries." And he also said, "My brain is only a receiver. In the universe, there is a core from which we obtain knowledge, strength, inspiration. I have not penetrated into the secrets of this core, but I know it exists. And I think this core is," we're talking about the Akashic records in a way. Albert Einstein said he was accessing information from another plane of existence. He stated that all his biggest theories were given to him by an outside force. Einstein claimed he came up with a theory of relativity in an instant. He said the idea came into his mind out of nowhere. Einstein did do thought experiments where he would go into a meditative state and come back with incredible information. I mean, he understood that there was something incredibly powerful in the unseen world, so that he took the time to go into these states. And part of reading the Akashic field is going into this altered state is helpful. You've got to detach from your analytical brain and go into this expansive field of openness and receptivity. Okay, so moving on. Nobel Prize nominee Dr. Erwin Laszlo studied electromagnetic fields for decades. After years of research, he announced that he had evidence of the Akashic field. He used results from the quantum zero-point energy. The zero-point field emits radiation that we can detect with very sensitive equipment. It was first discovered by Albert Einstein. We now know that the zero-point field exists. That's a real thing. We know the zero-point field exists. It can be measured scientifically. And it carries a lot of information about the universe and everything inside of it. So according to theoretical physicists, the zero-point field is an all-pervasive sea of quantum energy waves that exist throughout the universe. The fabric of space itself is made of energy and information. This information propagates through the universe via waves. The Akasha is made of quantum waves that is common to all intelligent life. This means that all species of sentient life, including alien life potentially, have the ability to tap into this all-encompassing field of knowledge and information. And throughout centuries, there have been oracles and prophets that have claimed to be in contact with this field, in contact with beings that exist kind of through this field. So this conversation has been going on for thousands of years. You know, the Buddhist referred, well, the word Akasha literally is a Sanskrit word that means ether. So we're talking about, when you say the Akashic records, the ether fields. So I think we'll start there with this. We understand that there is this sea of consciousness. There is this sea of information that can be measured and is around us.
I could not agree more. I love bringing the scientific element into this, as well as a little bit of the history. We definitely want to dive into why. Like, why would someone want to engage with the Akashic Records? Mm-hmm. And also how you can do that and how it can help you and help your life. So I want to talk about a little bit about the how, at least for my process. Mm-hmm. And I would really say it starts with intention and belief. So when I do past life remembrances, which when we say past life, as we know, lives are all happening simultaneously, but for the purpose of the podcast, we're just going to use the word past lives. So when I do these with clients, a big factor is belief, because everyone, when you're put into that meditative state, is going to experience something. But our analytical mind likes to get in and say, well, is it just my imagination making that up, or blah, 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 blah. What I will say is the intention is really important. So for instance, again, moving into the how it can help you. Mm-hmm. Say you have a specific fear or phobia that really comes out of nowhere, essentially. You know, you were born with it, or it just appeared one day, but it wasn't attached to a specific event. Like, for example, say you have a real fear of flying, but you've never been in a plane crash or a plane anxiety, put it like that. Well, accessing past lives and accessing this field can really shed light on where that fear came from originally, what's the root of that, and then bringing in unconditional love, wisdom, and healing to really release it. And I can just speak from my own life experience. And I was really born with this fear of doctors and hospitals, and I've had it since I was an infant. My mom took me to get my first shots when I was like, you know, a month old, and I would have hysterical fits in the doctor's office. And my mom would say to the doctors, like, she's the chillest baby on the planet, but every time I take her here, she has a meltdown. Does she know that she's about to get like some shots? And they were like, no, she's 2 weeks old. She doesn't know. She doesn't have the like brain power. And my mom would say, no, she knows. She knows. Like, my kid knows. But I've spent my whole life really avoiding doctors and hospitals until I really dove into where does this come from? And I've been able to heal a lot of that and kind of reframe my brain to look at doctors as healers rather than my opponents. But that really comes from the intention, right? I want to understand this. I want to heal this. And then the belief that when I see the picture, the moving image, when I see, hear, and feel it, not to then analyze it, because the analysis takes you out of that field and moves you back into the physicality of the 3D. Because this field, yes, it vibrates, like it lives in the 3D because we're in the 3D, but it's not, from my understanding, part of the 3D.
Yeah, I agree. So it seems like this field attaches to our energy field. So if you have, for the visual, we've talked about this before, every person has this toroidal, which means there's sort of this like donut shape going around us, this field, and it extends out. If people who have measured these things will say this field, this toroidal field, extends out from your body, and it really is powered by your heart. And it extends out like 8 to 10 feet. So all of your personal information, everything is stored in there. This, like, and I'm sure it also is attached into other places too, but when you're talking about feeling these past lives and these things, I mean, all like the complexity and the story of your soul is written in your field.
Totally. I find that they can also be really, really useful for understanding certain patterns or things that are difficult to transition out of or alchemize the energy of in your life, particularly, you know, opposing relationships or just really, really deep belief systems that have been difficult to break free of. So even, you know, I'll have clients come to me with financial issues and it's like, no matter what, they just keep having financial issues and they want to break that cycle. Yeah. A lot of times spirit will guide me into going into the Akashic field and understanding where is that root? Is that an ancestral root? Is that a past life root? Is there something kind of hiding in the shadows that is not available in our conscious memory of this lifetime that we need to re-experience in order to process? But this is really, really serious work. And that was something that I was, even when I started diving into this in a more professional understanding, shall we say, because obviously I was messing around with it my whole life. But I had a mentor really caution me and say, you know, you have to also do the spiritual work because what you're going to see can bring up a lot of unprocessed energy and that can be really difficult. And I just kind of in one ear, out the other, I was like, I'm going to do what I want to do. This is fun. This is cool. This is exciting. And then a lot came up for me that was really, really intense and difficult for me to process. Ultimately, super healing, life-changing stuff. But, you know, it's no joke.
No, it really is. I mean, and the truth of the matter is when you embark on this journey and you decide, hey, this is something I really want to expand into, you have to go into it with, well, I don't ever like to say you have to. I would caution you to go into this understanding this is really sacred work. You are moving into a field where you're moving into a field with partnership, I would say, with the divine to work with your field, or if you are doing this on a more professional basis, or you're doing it for your friends, right? That you are, there is such a reverence, I think, that comes with this work. And typically, I would say that you're only given, I know that for you it was difficult, I would say that you're typically only given as much as you can really handle. Right. So it didn't break you, but your spirit, right? You have the spirit. It's like, oh, I can't. Sometimes you almost have to learn the hard way, I feel like, right? Like that grit helps you with your expansion. So it's almost like you designed it that way. Mm-hmm. But so it can bring those things up, really depending on you and how you learn, because there, if we're going to go into the Akashic field, then there, we're also going to have the conversation that there are beings within the Akashic field that work with you and that you on a soul level have these agreements with them. So they will bring forward typically what you can handle, but sometimes what they think you can handle is more than you feel like you want to handle. You can handle it, but do you want to? I think that would be my advice with that piece of it.
Yes, I co-sign all of it. Yes, I could handle it. Did I want to handle it? Maybe, maybe not.
Right.
But now that I'm through it, it was one of the greatest gifts of my life. But during that season, it was incredibly difficult. But yeah. It was something that I needed to process. It was something that I needed to process. And it had been kind of lying dormant in this incarnation. It was coming from a different incarnation, but it was still affecting me in this incarnation. And that's another big takeaway that I preach and preach and preach, is that our, and again, I'm using the word past lives, but it's all happening at once, but the energy that is attached to us from other soul incarnations, we're all affecting, this energy is all affecting us right now and then there as well. And it just helps us understand too, our daily experience, because when you're going through suffering or you're going through difficulties, a lot of us can really wrap our heads around it if we can understand it. But the issue is, a lot of times it seems unfair. It seems like, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to it. Why is this person, you know, being in opposition to me? Why am I getting this bad luck? It's really frustrating, and it leaves us feeling very disempowered and defeated. Well, for me, when I do have issues come up, personal issues with different people or things that just don't really make sense, something's really bothering me with someone that maybe if someone else didn't, it wouldn't bother me. Mm-hmm. I like to dive into the Akashic field because there's just higher wisdom. It's almost like when you have blinders on, you can only see like 40%. Well, when you tap into the field, maybe that 40% extends to like a 60% and so on and so forth. Yeah. And then I can kind of relax and say, okay, I have empathy for the situation that maybe I wouldn't have empathy just on the, you know, on the peripheral.
Yeah, that I totally agree with that. So so that makes you neutralizes that within your own body. Like, oh, I don't have to hold that energy of feeling irritated or frustrated, you know, and it doesn't have to be if you work in the field. It doesn't have to be something that even is always a struggle. Sometimes it can just be shining wisdom on something you've experienced. So one of the first times I consciously went into my own records, I didn't really have a question. It was, I was working with it and like, well, what I think I asked the question also when you go into the Akashic fields, and we're going to give some, okay, I'm going to rewind for a second. There are a lot of people with a lot of opinions about the Akashic records. And I think I can speak for Eliza here. We both really kind of butt against when someone says you have to do it a certain way, because I think we're so much bigger than that. The universe is so huge that when you hear someone say, oh, you've got to follow this exact step, that's a sign to me that, well, I'm going to definitely do it a different way. So, because I don't like having to be like told to do things a certain way. But we can offer different ideas of how to do it. I did take an Akashic Records class, and that was useful. But honestly, the only reason I even took it was because I'm a board certified health coach, and I needed like requirement classes every year. You have to take a certain amount of classes. So I was like, well, this seems like the least boring class, even though I work with it already. I'll just see what they have to teach. It was great. Like, I have no complaint. It was a lovely class. It was way better taking that than some other boring class. However, I don't think it's necessary, but it may be helpful for you, right? So that piece of it is that it could be helpful in your unfolding, because they can do an attunement, which sort of brings your vibration to a different level to help access them more easily. But again, it's totally not necessary. You can absolutely 100% work with this all by yourself on your own.
Yeah, I would boil it down to intention. That would be the only thing that I would say, okay, when you go into the Akashic Records, what is your intention? So some people, like Christine said, are going to say, this is your step-by-step process. Mm-hmm. Great. If it helps you, great. We don't personally believe that you need that in order to access the Akashic Records. But what I will say is having an intention coming from really unconditional love, whether that's unconditional love for yourself, if you're going into your own records, or unconditional love for someone else, if you're working with someone else, or you're trying to understand a relationship that you have with someone, that energy will take you to where you need to go with it.
Yeah. So I agree. So one of the first times I deliberately went into my field to read, I didn't have a particular like struggle or situation that I was dealing with. What I asked, my question was, what would be for my highest good, something to understand about my life? It was something along those lines. And because I didn't have anything specific that I was really looking for, I just was like, I'm going to start working with this field. So I went in and it was fascinating what I was shown. So without giving too much information, I had a really unconventional childhood. I had lots of families who were involved in raising me. Because my parents had me when they were very young, my grandparents who I lived with, and they were my dad's parents. what I saw was I had this like base of a pyramid that was my foundation, and it made all the sense in the world. So I had on one corner, it was showing me my Nene and Poppy, and kind of like my dad is sort of infused there. And then another corner was my mom, and like her family was this other base of this pyramid. Then my best friend growing up, I even lived with her family for a year. I was with them, traveled with them all the time. Her family was another part of this pyramid. And then I had a boyfriend for 6 years, and I was with them so much, right? I like for a summer even lived with them, but they were really critical and significant to my development. They were another base of this pyramid. And so it was like, I needed all of these different energies, all of these different ways of being in the world, perceiving the world, to build what I needed to build in this life. And because when I was young, of course you hate being, I mean, at the time, none of my friends' parents were divorced. I had this like very unconventional life. I'm so grateful for it. I had so much love and so much care, right? But it was this explanation of why I had designed my life to be this way. And we'll talk a little bit more about from a soul level, if you're like, if, look, by the way, if we're going to study the Akashic field, you kind of have to co-sign that you believe in past lives, right? Or this other. So it's hard to say, I want to work with the Akashic fields and not have a belief around that, I think, but maybe there's a way.
Good luck.
Maybe. But I had designed my life with this having this really unusual base of not just from this one nuclear family, but from this, from all of these different people who were giving me this foundational piece to do, to build the life that I needed to live. That's so it's not always a trauma, right? Or an upset that you, it's just an understanding of your life.
That's so beautiful. And it inspires me to talk about another not trauma-based.
Okay.
Side of the Akashic records, because we can dive, that could be a whole other topic of all of the like dark and depressing aspects,
right?
But a more of like a fun aspect for me is that, you know, when you're really, really little, when you're first born, you're, I would say, closest to that consciousness of the ethers, right? That all the other lifetimes, which is why, you know, children will say certain things and they haven't totally been conditioned yet to be in the third dimensional frequency. So going back to when I was really, really young, I was obsessed with ballet, like obsessed. From my earliest memories, just everything was ballet. And by the way, I had zero talent for ballet, and I had zero really like desire to study it or be really, you know, dedicated to it. But I did love the costumes, and I was just obsessed. Everything was ballet, ballet, ballet. And, you know, if you followed my life, like ballet is not a part of my life. I never really did it. It didn't turn into anything. However, when I started diving into my past lives, but specifically one past life that is really, again, that one that has caused a lot of drama, she was a professional ballerina. And it just made a lot of sense to me. And it was so fun. It was like, wow, this really sort of affirmed this deep knowing that I had. I mean, there were so many other synchronicities between our lives as well. And now I'm very inspired by the fashion of ballet, but I still have not committed to the actual doing.
Well, look at your hairstyle right now.
I know. I lean in real hard to ballet corps, as they call
you
it.
You do. Look, okay. Without diving too deep in the story, I do remember a story you told about this particular past life to me, where you were in a moment of deep spiritual work, and you, out of nowhere, you were like, I need you to put on Vivaldi's Four Seasons or something like that.
Springtime. It was Springtime by Vivaldi. By the way, just to put this out there, Eliza could not have told you who Vivaldi was, what the Four Seasons were. Like, I'm not a classical musical girly. It's Stevie Nicks or bust in my house.
And you just pulled this from the Akasha, from the ether, and like, I need to hear this. And while you're in this deep state, didn't you do a dance to it?
Oh, I was doing point ballet in my friend's kitchen in Brooklyn. And again, as I've stated, I have never studied point ballet. I took one ballet class when I was 2 years old, and I did not have the attention span to be any good. I just wanted to wear the costumes, honestly. And then I became a soccer player. So
I love it so much that you did. Okay. So that, okay. So this is what this makes me think of. So in this state of sort of deep spiritual work, when you were in this altered state of being, you really tapped into this particular soul's life. You were able to come up with, you know, music that you wanted to hear, go on point, which I know is like wildly difficult.
Well, and I have to say, I was with some friends, and one of my friends actually was a dancer when she was younger. And so she was the one that was most blown away because she actually studied dance. She went to college for dance, and she's known me for many years and was like, what on earth is happening right now in the kitchen?
So you tapped into that, and that, you know, for that period of time, you sort of absorbed that wisdom, that information, that growth and learning that soul had had. And we were talking about this earlier. I think there's a phenomenon that happens where I was recently reading a story of this British woman, like, went to sleep and she woke up with a Welsh accent. Now, that may not seem, if you're listening in the US, you may not think, oh, what's the difference between a Welsh and a British? So imagine you wake up with a massive Southern drawl. How mortified. Not that a Southern drawl is bad. I was born in Louisiana, so I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's just if you are from California and you have a certain way of speaking and suddenly you are speaking like you're from deep in the Mississippi, that's going to be really alarming. And so I think that there are some of these cases where something happens, for whatever reason, this woman had just gone to sleep and woke up this way, that they had had an incarnation, you know, in a life like that, you know, or people woke up speaking like German, like they're speaking different languages, or they wake up and they can do these phenomenal things. They play classical piano or whatever it is. And it's like somehow something in their Akashic field has activated and like harmonized with your soul in this iteration of your life, which I think is such a, like, a wild phenomenon. And you can Google this phenomenon. It happens with not an irregular pattern. It happens kind of frequently.
I love how you said activation, because Spirit just dropped in a download for me that I want to share. Places can also activate your Akashic field. So This is really kind of mind-blowing. And I don't know if I've shared this story before. If I have, forgive me if I haven't.
Sure.
Welcome, everyone. But when I was 17, I went on a school trip to Poland. And it, you know, I had traveled a lot by the time I was 17. And I remember the school saying, you know, someone gets sick on the trip, so wash your hands. And I was like, why are they telling us to wash our hands? Like, we're adults. We're basically adults. Like, stop it. We've all been on airplanes before. I get to Poland and I get deathly ill, like deathly ill. I've never been this sick in my life. I could not swallow. What I had to do was dip white bread into sparkling water in order to eat. Like, it was like crazy. I was in bed all day shaking. And I was so committed to going on the tours that we were going on, because it was a very meaningful trip, that, you know, I would force myself out of bed, but then I'd get right back into bed. Finally, on the last day in Poland, I remember like looking, and I, by the way, there was a doctor on the trip who had given me antibiotic after antibiotic, nothing worked. Finally, on the last day, I was like weeping to him, please give me more medicine. I'm dying here. Mm-hmm. He gives me these steroids. Still nothing worked. It didn't work. Cut to, like, I was hopeless. Finally, I look up at the sky and we're like leaving Poland the next day. And I swear to you, the illness literally left my body. It was like I had processed whatever I needed to process. And I was fine. Like, I was like, could have done a marathon. Like, it was, you know, and normally when you're getting better from an illness, it's gradual. You're like, okay, I feel a little bit better. The next day I feel a little bit. This literally was like a spiritual thing that left my body and I was ready to party. But that was really like that place had activated this in me and from this past life. And I've had a lot of memories from that past life, unfortunately.
Yeah. So that's a really good point. Well, and sometimes people will travel to a place to sort of be activated. You talk about sacred places on the planet, that they can be very activating. I mean, obviously for me, it was very activating. This picture behind us, I bought that on that trip to Machu Picchu. You know, that you can be reactivated, you know, kind of codes can be downloaded. There can be, you know, wisdom from those past lives, or just the energy of the land can be activating also. You know, you follow ley lines, which are these energetic lines throughout the earth. And typically the sacred places are, you know, placed on these like very like important energetic parts of the earth. So yes, you can be activated by those. Absolutely.
And just to share a positive activation, I will never forget the first time I went to Tulum before it's now turned into Miami, but back when it was just magical and spiritual, right. I remember, and I'm not someone who ever takes naps either. I'm like a go, go, go. I got to the beach in Tulum. I fell asleep, and I swear to you, something in my DNA shifted. And it was the heaviest I've ever slept in my life. I was like in a coma. My friend was trying to wake me up, and I would like wake up and go back to bed, wake up. And after I finally got up, it was like my soul had, there had been a shift in my soul. And Christine knows Tulum is one of my favorite places in the entire world. And I encourage everyone.
We're going to do a retreat there one day. So stay tuned one day.
Yes. Coming soon. And you need to be activated there, because I will tell you, it is the most healing place ever. As long as you're not, you know, listening to, maybe if you are listening to house music, but my Tulum is a little bit more adjacent to the party scene that has entered.
It's going to be amazing. So going back to like why you would want to activate this, how to activate it. So there's lots of different ways, you know, we can, and right, the intent piece is critical, but we have a few different ideas of different ways that you could try on for you to access these fields if you're interested in working with this field. Well, so the why. So to use an analogy, right, into being part of the spiritual realm, think of like all of us as being like a tadpole. Tadpole, like kind of swimming around your little pond, like happy, like it's great to be a tadpole. You can stay being a tadpole for as long as you want. But you live in this aquatic world. Like you cannot live on the land. To live, you have to stay in this aquatic world. At some point, a tadpole is going to grow legs and turn into a frog. And the frog then can live both on the land and in the aquatic state. It can live in both worlds. The terranean world is very different from the aquatic world, but they're both very real. Right? Those are both real worlds. The frog can live in both of these places. So there are some people who think, you know what? I love this 3D world, this world of materialism that is around us. It's a great place to be. We're not talking about, oh, well, you have to just live in the spiritual realms. However, you may feel called that you want to expand out into other realms. And a lot of people do this through plant medicine, and that's fine. I think there are better ways to do it, quite honestly. It's not that that's a bad way. It's just, that seems very limiting to me, because you are multidimensional. You have all of that within you already, that you don't need to like take the risk of the plant medicine side. But if you feel called to do that, fantastic, great, you be you and do that. But we're talking about having this slower, more gentle expansion and into these other realms. So reaching out into this Akashic field is starting to, as you do that, you're experiencing this other dimensional place. You may be meeting other dimensional beings within this place who may come to you and bring wisdom. So that's sort of what we're describing, is opening your mind up to, yes, being very rooted, grounded here in this world. And at the same time, while being fully anchored here, expanding out into another realm of information, another realm of beings, another realm of the fabric of the universe. And as you reach out into these Akashic fields, you begin to understand your own personal like divine design, like why you are here, what you are here to learn. And one of the things that I've sort of been shown is that this, we're here in this 3D world. People that we love and die go on to this other realm. This Akashic field is utilized not just by us here in the 3D world, but it's also utilized by souls who are planning their next incarnation into this world, because this field, this field of information, people, I think biblically it can be referred to as the book of life. I mean, so really, it's everything about you is held in these fields. Like in each lifetime is like a book, right? And so you have all of these books of all of your lifetime that are stored and held. They're like imprinted in this field. And when you are, if you are planning another lifetime, like what I understand is that there is a lot of work. You don't just jump in here. You come here with a reason. You come here because there's something you really want to grow and expand, maybe heal. And so you plan it. Like I talked about, I planned this life with these four pillars because I needed that to do what I needed to do in this life, to build this sort of pyramid of my life now. And so this field is not just for us to tap into. I think animals use this field also. Like they have this navigation. They have all these things that animals do, right? And I know we talk about there's like magnetism and these waves that they can link into. I think as part of the sea of consciousness that they somehow just naturally haven't forgotten how to do, I think that humans today, perhaps were more in touch with this earlier on in our history, and we've forgotten some of it, but animals are still understand, they understand these seasons, they understand when to fly somewhere, there's this field of consciousness that they're connected to. So this field is not just for us here, this field is being utilized by many beings.
That's such a beautiful explanation. I really love that. And I'm just still sitting in that energy. I would just say as well, I'd love to add that when you are journeying into the field, to really just open yourself up to receiving, because it starts with intention, then it's receiving, and then it's just believing. So that would be my process to you. And then you can really kind of find your own flow with it and what feels good to you. And when you remove the doubt and when you lean into the belief, then you really feel it in your soul. And that is very validating, because you can't tell someone, oh, you don't feel this way, right? No, you know, it's like when you know, you know. So that would be my recommendation for anyone who's starting to feel inspired to dive in. And we also recommend starting with yourself before you run into someone else's records. Really get to know your own and understand your journey and why you're here and what you can do to really support your soul in your mission here in this incarnation.
Yeah. So I think maybe we'll talk about a couple different ways, some ideas. And by the way, you may have your own fantastic idea that's perfect for you to access this field. So if you're beginning, if you're new to this, then you don't already have a way to connect into it. I'm going to give you a couple of suggestions of things you can try to access. What Eliza said about the intention is key, and the non-judgment. You really have to put your analytical mind to the side and be open, receptive. And yes, what Eliza said about the healing piece is so powerful when you access this field, because when you go in there, you will be offered sometimes healings and sitting and coming into allowing the time to come into that vibrational flow can be incredibly healing.
I just want to add quickly about the non-judgment, because this is so, 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 so crucial. I, as someone who is a rusher in general, I can relate to certain people saying, okay, I have my intention, I'm receiving, I didn't get anything. Because it doesn't happen exactly as you maybe have pictured it to happen in that moment. Also, remember, you're building up this energy and this communication with this field. So just like the first time you kick a soccer ball, some people, okay, maybe have a natural talent for it, but most people are going to have to practice. So before you jump to the conclusion, I didn't get anything, you know, they don't like me, blah, 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 blah. You just want to sit in open energy and receiving and in non-judgment, because like we shared earlier, they're going to get you and them, this partnership, you're going to give yourself exactly what you can process at that time. And then you're going to build from that. So not judging, not demanding it to be a certain way. And I only share that because I can definitely relate to that in my journey and, you know, friends, and then really continuing to build up that communication and just trust that it's going to get to a place that really works for you, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is what's happening.
You know, I am so glad you shared that piece of it, because I think a lot of people could go in and try it for 5-10 minutes and be like, oh, this doesn't work for me, I can't do it. Right? Again, like anything else, you are like, if you were trying to learn to speak Chinese and you weren't fluent in the first 10 minutes, I mean, you like, sometimes there are certain things you have to work with, you have to practice, right? So not rushing it, trusting your process, whatever your process is. Like, it is your divine birthright to be able to access the information of your soul. It just is. And then if you're going to work with other people's fields, I do feel like you kind of have to be in a vibrational alignment, right? You can't just jump into anyone else's field that you want to. It's really like where you are, what your intention is, like what your integrity is with it. And are you a vibrational match to sort of open these other records? I think there's that piece of it, but it's particularly your own records, like that, those are your records. Of course you can read them if you put the time in. Okay. So I'm going to give a few different ideas of ways to access your field. So one, you can take a class, you have the attunement. That's kind of a fast, easy way. Oftentimes, when there's a group of people, the energy is built, right? So it may be a little easier because you're in a field with a group and the energy is just naturally bigger. And so it can be a little bit easier, but again, 100% not necessary. But that is one way. It's like that teacher will give you an attunement, which sort of brings a vibration in for you and can be helpful to like short circuit it a little bit. That's one possibility. Another way is to say sort of a sacred prayer. And I'm going to say a prayer that is used. You can come back and rewind it, write this down. If you want to use this vibrational key as your sacred prayer. And so this one goes, Akashic Masters, beings of light, please hold me in a safe and loving space. Clear and dissolve any interference or resistance that could block the most aligned information and appropriate healing for my highest good to come through with ease at this time. And it's recommended that you say that out loud one time, and then you say it silently and use your full legal name where me and my are. So you can come back, you can write that down, and use that. Once you go in there and you have your question, that is a question that is not a yes or no, that there is the art of the question to get the answer that you need. Once you have gotten that, I really recommend writing down the information. It could be a symbol, like you could see an animal, it could be a packet of information. That don't judge whatever it is. Have a notepad next to you so you can write down what the information is. You may have to sit with it, you may have to meditate with it. And also going into the space, already having a little meditation, being in a little bit of a altered state is helpful too. Also, before you leave, you can ask. And you can ask that your auric field be filled with the highest energies that you can hold at that time, right? So ask for what you want, because you're not always given what you think you want if you don't ask for it. So be clear with your intention. I am asking that my field be held and filled with the highest possible light available to me at this time. It's very healing to do that practice. What Eliza does, really, Eliza is channeling, right? She says you channel into that state. But I would argue that you channel from your heart. And like when you come from your heart space, this is your highest vibration, right? So not coming in with this analytical mind of what do I want to see, hear, and feel. By the way, when you're in the records, you may see things, hear things, smell things, taste things. Like write down without any judgment everything that comes into your field of awareness. You can also do a guided meditation. And a guided meditation can, like one of the ways we talked about kind of 3D, maybe 5D is where the Akashic fields are. You could see yourself in an elevator, like see yourself on the third floor of a building. You get in the elevator, you press number 5, I'm going up to the fifth dimension, you go out and you let this unfold to I'm exiting this elevator at the fifth dimension. What am I seeing? Am I going into an actual library, a temple, like energetic field, whatever it is for you, allow it to flow, allow your not analytical mind, but allow your soul to lead you to where it wants to go and come into that space, come into alignment, come into that vibration of the space where you find yourself, and then begin to ask the questions that you are compelled to ask. Again, I think starting with yourself is helpful, but you can expand out vibrationally when you're in alignment there to work with other people.
And I'll just close with the visualizations of mirrors and doorways are really, really helpful. So when I do this work with clients, I'll be inspired. Oh, we're going into a hall of mirrors. Oh, we're going into a hall of doors, a beautiful white room of doors. Sometimes you want to see yourself on a boat sailing down a river, and you're going to guide yourself to see whatever is going to materialize as you're on this boat and you don't know where you're going, but your soul does. So guided meditations are great.
Yeah. I think it's an easy way. I mean, there may even be something on YouTube that gives you one to go into the Akashic fields. There's so much on YouTube. I haven't looked myself, but I wouldn't be surprised if you could find something for free on YouTube. I can't vouch for anything that you find, but they may be there.
I will say too, I have had great experiences in saunas and temezcal ceremonies that can also help you access this field. So I'm sure it works in the opposite direction too, with like ice baths or being in like the ocean if it's really cold. But I've definitely found that those sort of conduits can help access this field as well.
I'm laughing at the temezcal comment because Eliza and I did a temezcal and it was a pretty funny story. And they tried to indoctrinate us into a cult, but that's a whole other story.
I'm like, Christine, did you really come to LA if you didn't try to join a cult at least once?
That's right. That's right. So yes, but the temezcal ended up being amazing. I kind of had a moment in the beginning, but I worked through it. I worked through the fear of it. Yeah. Thank you so much for staying with us. We may talk about the Akashic records again, because there's so much, I think, to say about this topic. And we really just sort of brushed the surface of it. And I think we will come back and have more conversations around this topic.
I love it. Bye, everyone. Talk soon.
Bye-bye.